Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Monday, December 16th. Coming up today, we'll hear from Kent's Crime Commissioner about the backlog of criminal cases at Crown Courts. We'll also have reaction from the Jills manager after their weekend win. But first, taking a look at our top story today. New data shows East Kent Hospitals Trust is struggling to cope with a rise in visits to A&E. More than 1,100 patients were left waiting for more than 12 hours last month. That's up from just three people 5 years ago. There's been a 33% increase in attendance to emergency departments in Ashford, Margate and Canterbury since 2019. Shelley Alal says her 89-year-old mum, Louisa Gilbert, has been left on a bed next to a desk in the waiting area of the A&E assessment space.
My mum was brought to hospital after a fall on Tuesday. We arrived at William Harvey around 12. She was put in a bed and put into the A&E reception area where there was many other beds and lots of beds in the corridor, where these patients are being treated in the corridor. My mum was having her bloods done and having treatment in the corridor, so there was no privacy. I had to come in yesterday and there was blood on her sheets. I had to change the sheets and I was asked to give her medication as she was asleep. Funny enough, today, as I took her outside to get her fresh air, they changed the bed. And that is the only time. Whether something had been said, I don't know. It's like a war zone. It's like a third world country. I can't believe that this is happening here. I've read about it and people have told me, but without actually seeing it yourself, you just couldn't believe it. So my mum's been here since Wednesday. We're now Friday. They did say that she's medically fit to go home, but they can't send her home because she needs to see therapy and have a care plan in place. They're understaffed, so hopefully, they said, it would be today. So it is bed blocking, because if they had more staff, they could come and see my mum. She should go home. She could go home and she would feel better, because my mum suffers with dementia. And she's more confused here in these 3 days than she ever has been, because she's not in familiar surroundings. It's so sad and it's just utterly appalling.
A spokesperson for East Kent Hospitals Trust says pressure across the NHS has increased since COVID. In March, a three-year expansion of A&E departments in Ashford and Margate was completed at a cost of £30 million. This winter, a further £11.6 million is being allocated across the area to avoid unnecessary admissions to hospital.
Kent Online News.
Two men in their 20s have been taken to hospital with facial injuries following an attack in Rochester. They're thought to have been assaulted by two other men in Blue Ball Lane in the early hours of yesterday. Police say they are investigating. Officers are following up on reports of an attack on DJ and podcaster Fat Tony in Margate. He's said to have suffered facial injuries after performing at the Lido Leisure Centre on Friday night. The 59-year-old, whose real name is Anthony Marnock, posted a video on social media after being forced to cancel a gig.
I'm absolutely gutted. I'm gutted this happened. I'm gutted that people choose violence, especially when what we try to do comes from a place of love.
Stars including Davina McCall and Kate McGowan are among those who have sent messages of support. A man with more than 170 previous convictions has appeared in court accused of shouting abuse at police and members of the public in Thanet. Judd Osborne was found drunk in Birchington twice in November. The 52-year-old, who doesn't have a permanent address, has already been given a community order and will now have to pay a total of more than £100. Two teenagers have been arrested after Christmas displays were vandalised in a village near Ramsgate. The boy and girl were detained after doorbell footage showed people kicking over and throwing decorations outside a house in Cliff's End. Damage was also done to the village hall over the weekend. Concerns have been raised about a huge rise in the backlog of criminal cases at Crown Courts in Kent. More than 3,200 are waiting to be heard at Maidstone in Canterbury. That's up from around 880 before the pandemic. I've been speaking to Crime Commissioner Matthew Scott.
Well, I've been calling for action on this for number of years now. We've had, since the pandemic, more than double the regular backlog in our Crown Courts. And my concern is that that means that victims aren't getting their day in court and that defendants are waiting around for their trials as well. It's not fair on victims. It puts pressure on witnesses. And despite everything that the system is doing in order to alleviate the problems, we don't seem to be making much progress.
Is it putting people off reporting crimes? Do you think they see these statistics and they think, oh, nobody's ever going to be brought to justice, so I just won't bother?
We haven't seen much evidence of that. I mean, the key thing for me is, do we retain victims' confidence as the journey continues? So we've put extra resources into our victim and witness care team in Kent Police to make sure we've got more people around to help manage those cases, the expectations and the communications. We've got victim support, the charity, in place to help as well. So we've done a lot to try and help maintain that victim's confidence, but it is getting harder and harder to do when the delays are still maintaining. We've got cases which are being listed well into 2026 now, which is a real problem for victims of crime who want to be able to move on with their lives.
Have you seen any evidence that people are dropping cases because of the wait?
A small number, yes. It's not been extensive as it might have been in other areas, but there have been a few occasions where victims have said, no, that's enough for me now, I can't wait anymore. And that's a tragedy, because that means that they don't get the justice that they were seeking from the outset, and potentially a perpetrator who gets away with it. So we're doing absolutely everything that we can to retain that victim's confidence, to provide them with the ongoing support and therapy that they need to carry on, because we want to avoid a situation where they feel like the system's not on their side and that they're going to pull out.
What about the people that are being held in custody? What sort of an impact does it have on their mental state?
Well, that's the other consideration that we have as well, because yes, we want to support victims and we do want to support witnesses, but defendants do deserve their day in court as well, because they deserve their side of the case to be heard. So we need to make sure that the system is working for everybody, that victims and witnesses get their day in court, but defendants' cases are heard too.
Now, I know that they've announced the government's going to conduct a national review into the courts. I'm assuming this is something that you welcome. I know you said you've been calling for reform for quite a long time.
Yeah, of course. I'm hoping that the review team will see Kent as a force they want to work with. We've been in conversations with the Ministry of Justice over the last few years to try and come up with new ideas to tackle the problems. So I do welcome the review. I hope that Brian Leveson is given the resources he needs to conduct this quick time and pick up some early lessons that we can implement now. The problem with reviews is that quite naturally they do take time. So I'm not going to criticise them for that, because I think it is the right thing to do. But we need to make sure that he's got the resources he needs to be able to produce some interim findings and full findings in the course of time. So if he's picking up anything that we can work with now, it would be fantastic to know.
The government's recently ordered a national review.
Kent Online News.
Figures show more than 35,000 asylum seekers have crossed the channel in small boats so far this year. Over 1,000 people have arrived since last Thursday. The government's refusing to put a timeline on cutting the number of journeys. Two cats have been given oxygen after being rescued from a fire in Gravesend. The blaze broke out in the kitchen of a property on Cern Road yesterday evening. It's thought to have started accidentally when a microwavable heat pad was put in a bin. A family has been left heartbroken after their grandmother's gravestone was taken from a cemetery in Gravesend. The memorial plaque went missing from Milton Cemetery last month, along with several small cherub ornaments. Police say no suspects have been identified, but they will investigate if new information comes to light. A Kent teacher found dead after being reported missing has been described as one in a million. Karen Gill was head of IT at 100 of Who Academy and also used to work at Oasis Academy on Sheppey. The 51-year-old was found near Queenborough Harbour last week, with former colleagues calling her a beautiful person who was very kind, patient and supportive.
Kent Online News.
A Kent agency is joining a national campaign to encourage more people to consider adopting a child. Figures show more than 2,400 youngsters are currently waiting to be matched with a family across England. I've been chatting to Kate Patel, who's head of adoption and fostering at Diagrama Foundation.
The Big Adoption Day is about promoting adoption, which might sound quite obvious by the name, but we've got a number of children who require adoption. They could be children from a variety of backgrounds, and we want to make the general public aware of that. There are many reasons and that that children need adoption, and there are many different types of adopters who are out there, or prospective adopters. And we want people to think, oh, maybe that could be us, maybe that could be me. We have adopters who are single people, we have adopters who are in heterosexual relationships, same-sex relationships, adopters who've already got children, but they are, you know, they've still got capacity in their lives to consider and think about the children out there who need adoption. Really, the key thing we're looking for is people who've got security and stability in their lives. And if they've got that, then that's that we would love to hear from people, and would love them to come along to hear what we've got to say on the 15th of January.
I was reading in the press release, sort of touched on some of the benefits that adopting a child can bring to a family. What would some of those benefits be?
Well, many of our families would be happy to talk to you about that and tell you that. And on the big adoption day, we've got a number of families who are going to come to a question and answer session and be able to tell you about how their lives have changed since they've become adopters. I mean, that, you know, you have all the usual ups and downs and joys and stresses that parenting brings. And, you know, there's added extras in there as well. But you know, we hear lots of wonderful stories about the impact that adoption has had on the children who've been provided with security and stability, but also the joys and the pleasures that children have brought to the adopters and their wider friends and wider family. At Diagrama, we specialise in trying to find adopters who are going to consider children who wait the longest for adoption, children who may have a learning need or a health need, children who might need to be adopted with their brother or their sister, children who might be that little bit older. And, you know, if that's something that you think, I think we might have, I have got the skills for that, that's something I'm interested in, we would really love to hear from you.
They're taking part in the Big Adoption Day with a Q&A session on the 15th of January. Bosses in Folkestone are demanding traffic calming measures are brought in on a new build estate amid drivers speeding past a play park. Motorists are reaching 60 miles per hour along West Road in Cheriton, with the local councillor saying there is a proven speed problem. It was raised during a consultation on another 48 properties to be built in the nearby Shorecliffe Heights development, which council have objected to. There's been backlash to plans to move Tunbridge Wells Rugby Club to make way for a new housing development. Under the proposals, the current site would be turned into 189 new homes, with the club relocated a kilometre down Fan Road. The developer is yet to submit a full planning application, but 1,000 people have already signed a petition against it. National Highway says they're lifting more than 95% of roadworks from motorways and major A roads for the festive season. That includes more than 100 miles of roadworks on the M25 from next Friday. It's hoped it will help minimise disruption, as nearly 40% of drivers are said to be planning long journeys for Christmas. Meanwhile, traffic measures to cope with Christmas getaways in Kent have been put in place. Operation Brock is now on the M20 between Maidstone and Ashford. It's used to queue lorries if the Port of Dover and Eurotunnel are particularly busy. Toby Howe is from the Kent and Medway Resilience Forum.
Every holiday season, the Kent and Medway Resilience Forum liaise with the Port of Dover and Eurotunnel to assess what flows they're expecting of traffic, so if it's going to be busy or not. So as we've seen through the summer and back in Easter, when we do know it's going to be a very busy period, we have to put Brock out to control the freight flow. So the data that we've had back from the Port of Dover specifically for the weekend before Christmas shows that they are expecting some very busy days, specifically the Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So with that in mind, the decision was taken by the Kent and Medway Resilience Forum to implement Brock. So Brock will be put out by National Highways the coming Sunday night, so that the motorway will then be open again for Monday. And the intention is then to remove it after that busy weekend. So probably the weekend of the 22nd, it'll be removed.
So it's not going to be in for too long, but I'm sure you're hoping that it will obviously ease any pressures that there are on the port. Just remind us what Brock is designed to do.
It's in effect all that we have as the Kent and Medway Resilience Forum to be able to control the flow and manage the flow of freight if it's going to be busy, specifically down at Dover. So what we've seen, for example, we saw it when we had Storm Dara last weekend, that if we have unforeseen issues, it doesn't take much for Dover to get full of traffic, and that includes freight backing up along the A20 and finding every route. So what we use is we have Brock as a pressure valve in effect, where we can hold those HGVs back from Dover and from all the communities down in the east of the county in a safe location, and they can then be released as and when there is space. So what people see very often is that those lorries are free flowing and people are saying, why is Brock there? But it's there for those moments that it's really busy. And we are expecting to see that busyness. And again, as I say, with Storm Darragh last weekend, we saw what happens if you don't have Brock. So it's one of those situations that sometimes Brock will be put out in advance and not be required. Other times it's required and not put out. So it's judgment, and all we can base it on is that data that we get from the Port of Dover.
Now, for drivers, I guess we should remind them that when Brock does come into force, of course, that means a speed limit will be in place on the M20.
Yes, there will be a 50-mile-an-hour speed limit, but the whole benefit of Brock as opposed to stack that we had some years ago is that we do enable two-way traffic still on the motorway rather than diverting all of the coastbound traffic onto the A20. So yes, it means that people do have to follow that speed limit and there are narrow lanes, but the benefit of Brock is we're able to keep the communities, in particular around Dover, Folkestone, Hawkinge, etc., less congested by holding back that traffic. So I appreciate the delays it does cause to some commuters, having been one of those commuters myself at times, but it is for the greater benefit.
Bosses in Canterbury are on track to make a bumper profit from parking due to exceeded expectations. They're expected to rake in more than £260,000 above the £11 million they were expected to make this financial year. It comes as councillors considering raising the prices of some of their Band 1 lots, something they're now being urged to reconsider.
Kent Online News.
Concerns have been raised for people in Kent who face losing their homes just before Christmas. Figures show a rise in possession orders going through county courts, with nearly 700 across Kent and Medway between July and September. One case is a mum who could be evicted on Christmas Eve because of an apparent mix-up with a subletting. Chris Thomas is from the homelessness charity Porchlight.
We want measures in place that protect renters from the misuse of Section 21 eviction notices. And we think the best way of doing this is for the government to ban Section 21 notices and introduce measures that also allow someone to be relocated if and only if no other options are available to keep them in the property.
When I went to court on Tuesday and heard some of the possession orders that have been brought forward, and some of those were spoken of as, you know, retaliatory evictions, where people felt because they had complained about said problem in the property, the landlord had used that as a blanket way of basically removing them so they could put someone else in, or as you mentioned, other uses such as Airbnb. You touched a little bit then on what you were just talking about, Chris, about you know, obviously the Renters Reform Bill isn't just banning Section 21, it's a wider package of legislation about protections built in for renters. What other things specifically are, you know, a Porchlight would like to see in that bill or would support coming forward?
If someone does get evicted from their home, that we'd like measures introduced that mean that they have to be relocated so they don't end up on the streets. And you know that we all know the rental market's brutal at the moment, so we'd like to see rent increases during tenancies capped in line with inflation or wage growth, so people aren't just priced out of their homes.
One of the other aspects you touched upon, I think, you know, so any unintended consequences of this ban. I think most people are broadly obviously supportive on it for the reasons why you've outlined. Landlords, obviously, you know, as you said, we want to support responsible landlords to stay in and continue to rent out to people, because obviously most people, you know, not everyone can afford buying their own homes, and not everyone would choose to want to buy their own home. Is there a fear of that if landlords sell up, that this could decrease an already obviously quite competitive stock?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're in a housing crisis at the moment. One of the issues around this is that if someone gets evicted from their home, the cost of rent is so high that it's really difficult for them to move somewhere else. And obviously there's a lot of competition for places as well. I'm speaking now more in the long term, but the only way we're going to get around this is for the government to build more social housing. I know it's spoken about building more housing, and that's great. And we just need them to commit to that, to stay on that. The calculations are that if the government built 900,000 social homes every year, then in time we'd be able to end this crisis. So yeah, like ultimately, we need more social homes where people can afford to live without being pushed to the absolute limit, and to not have this sort of fear of being of the possibility of being moved out of their home hanging over them.
A law banning no-fault evictions is expected to come into force next year. Plans for a new McDonald's drive-thru in Dover have been recommended for approval despite more than 300 objections. The fast food giant wants to build a 24-hour restaurant on the corner of Townwall Street and Wolcomber Street, but critics say it will damage the town's historic assets. The project is expected to be given the go-ahead next week. New data shows authorities in Canter owed a staggering £85 million in unpaid council tax. Nearly 200,000 people have been issued with liability orders, forcing them to go through a court since April of 2021. At Kent Online, you can see how many times bailiffs have been called out in different parts of the county. Amazon say they are investigating reports of a makeshift sorting office that's apparently been set up for parcels in Maidstone. Residents say they're being woken up by noise in the night, and vans are blocking access to Warwick Avenue. The company's promised to look into it.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and Gillingham have beaten MK Dons 1-0 in League Two. Robbie McKenzie scored in the second half of Saturday's game away from home. Boss Mark Bonner says he's pleased with his players' performance.
What's your overriding emotion after that performance and the result?
Exhaustion, probably. Same as the players, I think. I hope they get the credit they deserve today, because they've had some pelters thrown at them recently, but the last two games have been brilliant in terms of the commitment to the game, the effort in the game. It's a massive win, that. Away wins are hard to come by, clean sheets are hard to come by. We're doing very well in that regard, clean sheet wise. Cats had a great game. The scramble at the end is just crazy. I don't even know what happened there. But we will take it very, very gratefully, and it backs up last week, which is great. It's to come here and win was probably, yeah, a dream result for us, really. And it helps maybe kickstart a bit of momentum. We need to try and keep backing that up and get rolling. But big day for us, big game from us, and huge credit to the lads for the ones that started, the ones that finished the game. Thought they made a good impact in it as well, and we changed quite a bit during the game, but they coped really well.
When it comes to executing the game plan, was that about as perfect as a performance as it could get?
Probably not, because we needed to be a bit more courageous with the ball in order to have our own situations. We had a handful of counter-attacking moments which we didn't use well, first and second half. And then we were too reliant on that, because certainly in the first half we probably didn't complete enough first few passes. We did it better in the second half early on, but didn't create so much from it. But it's tough. It's tough, because when you are starved of the ball and they make the pitch as big as they can, it's, I think, the biggest pitch in the league, and they make it huge. So calm, so controlled with the ball, very, very difficult to get pressure to the ball. And then when you win it back, you're tired first, and then you think, right, it becomes a counter-attacking game, so we've got to go fast. But then you turn the ball over, and then you're in trouble, because it's a long time when you've not got it. In the end, once we got ahead, the way in which we defended our half and our box this afternoon was brilliant, and we turned them into a direct and crossing team, which was fantastic. And they made a lot of changes, a lot of forwards on the pitch, really good threat. I thought we defended the box really well today.
The Gills are now ninth in the table. Cricket Now and Kenzak Crawley has been bowled out for just 5 runs in the second innings of England's final test against New Zealand. The visitors finished day 3 on 18 for 2 in Hamilton, trailing by a massive 640 runs. England have already won the 3-match series after victory in the first 2 games. Staying with cricket, and Kent's Tammy Beaumont is back in action for England's women in their test match against South Africa. She scored 21 runs yesterday, and the tourists declared on 395 in their first innings. And briefly in ice hockey, it was a double victory for Kent's Invicta Dynamos over the weekend. They beat Oxford City Stars 4-0 last night after Saturday's 7-2 win over Cardiff Fire. The Moes are currently sixth in the South Division 1 table. That's all from us today. Thank you ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.